James chapter 1. Praise the Lord. And comes the lights. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, we now approach your word with respect and honor. Father, I thank you that you've called me and qualified me to teach your word. And Father, I'm hopeless without the inward anointing working in my heart. And so, Father, that inward anointing is it teaches us all things and is truth and cannot lie. Father, I thank you that those of us that rely upon the Holy Ghost, we don't preach a wind of doctrine, we preach the faith. And so this morning as we get back into the Word, I ask that you anoint the ears of the people to hear, anoint the lips of the speaker, and between both, Father, much can be accomplished for the kingdom of God, and I thank you for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Hallelujah. I had a chance to share this book with several pastors. They were shocked. They didn't know that the book of James was all about the influence of money within the church. How many of you enjoyed it last Wednesday evening? We got from verse 7 of chapter 5 of James all the way to the end. Wasn't that powerful? You never thought those verses meant what they did until you really get into them and then understand them. Praise God. Well, it would seem right for James to leave something for those of us that could be influenced by those who were influenced by money. And we finally seen those scriptures in there where he told us a position that we are to take against those that abuse us financially. Praise God. And I love those verses. But in James here, in chapter 1, we're going to look at a verse here. And many people don't understand the term wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And the reason that that term is used, it's talking about a man who is emotionally controlled or a person who is emotionally controlled in the negative. Because he used the term wrath. And you'd be surprised how many of us are emotionally controlled. Or maybe not. Praise God. And so we're going to be talking about emotions. Emotions. Again, the word emotion comes from the Latin term that means to move. And so our emotions are constantly steering and moving us either towards or away from or out of something, whether it's positive or negative. Strong's means an excitement of the mind. They are what motivates us to deal with our surroundings, whether hostile or friendly. Emotions come in a three-part cycle every time. You might want to write this down. We revisit, we relive, and then, of course, it affects the conscious mind and feelings. Revisit is where the incident that sparked the emotion. We relive that in memory of our emotions. And then, of course, the conscious mind is in the awareness of the power of memory in feelings. So when the term emotionalism is used, or the term he is an emotional person, that is one who is controlled by their emotions. And we brought out last week the signs of a person who is under control of their emotions. One person had approached me and said that this one point you brought out really hit home to me. It's where we allow the tape recorder to play in our minds of self-justification over conflict. And boy, that is so true, because when we think on things that we've been mistreated in or whatever, have you ever noticed you grow emotionally in that? You, all of a sudden, you've had these feelings of anger and frustration. They build off of them thoughts, you know. And so I'm glad that at least it got one of you. Hallelujah. But I look at all of them for me. So when we find here in James chapter 1, in verse 20, it says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Many people don't understand that he gives us some insight to control our emotions by. And we find them in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, and then slow to wrath. See, this is, now you're probably thinking, well, why would a person be slow to wrath? Well, how many of you know there is a righteous anger? There's a righteous emotionalism that you're to... Did you know it's all right to be offended over the right thing? Do you know that when people sin in my presence, I get offended by that? You know, when they use the Lord's name in vain, I'm offended. Hallelujah. But this verse 19, what he does is he's talking in a way to let us know how to control an emotional response. He says, first of all, be quick to hear. In other words, listen to what's being said. Then hold your tongue. Then if you want to get emotional about it, at least you've heard and you've controlled your tongue. See, a lot of times emotionalism speaks right out of the mouth before it even has a chance to think. Emotionally controlled people do not have a controlled tongue. Now, the Lord also told me that when people are emotional about things, they take care very easy and they're faithless. A person who is emotionally controlled is a person who is very faithless. Matthew chapter 6, he talks about not taking the care of things. He didn't say, don't take the responsibility of things. He's saying, don't be emotionally moved by things. Because care doesn't work the righteousness of God if it's negative. You know, care over there in Peter talks about people who develop the wrong kind of care because of the misuse of leadership within the church, or the misuse of leadership being misused by laity, vice versa. And he says, whatever you do as a church, don't take this kind of care, because Satan goes around looking for people that get emotionally involved in things because he can take them out. And so it is important that we learn how to control our emotions. It is important. We sometimes don't realize it, but listen, if you don't learn how to take care of your emotions, you'll never walk in faith. You'll never walk out the victory that you need. You never will. There are some things in my life that hadn't been working, and a lot of it was due to care or anxiety. Now, number one, how do I take charge over my emotions? How do I take charge over my emotions? Well, right away, I got news for you. We are responsible for our own actions and reactions. We are responsible for our own actions and reactions, not others. If you don't know this right up, it's mute what I'm going to say after this. You are responsible for your own actions and reactions, not others. Now, other people can add to it. But listen, you're responsible for your own reaction. Number one, if you want to get control of your emotions, be aware of how you communicate. Is it outbursts of anger, or are you stuffing your feelings? Does one make you a fool and the other a hypocrite? Be aware of how you're communicating to people. Be aware. Now, I'm going to tell you, communication is not always words. Matter of fact, the majority of it's your body language. You know, it's amazing how Christians, they want to get under the anointing of the Spirit of God, but yet they don't want nothing to do with God training them properly and getting under that inward anointing that works character and builds strength in us and integrity. But they want the anointing of God. They want to see the miracles and the prophecies. And they could care less how they communicate to society. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus was very gracious in his manner. I don't care for the movies, what they made him out, some stiff, starch, stiff neck that hated the world. And that's not the way Jesus, I don't believe that that's the way Jesus walked this earth. I believe he was totally in control of his emotions. And when he got hot, he had reason to be hot. But I think by and large, Jesus was a very happy individual. He, you know, I liked that one letter the Archco Volumes wrote about him that I thought was very interesting. They said that Jesus was very charismatic and very persuadable over his listeners. Jesus was not some solemn, slow-walking, religious-sounding nut. I believe Jesus communicated quite well with his body. If you get a good communicator, he can read people real easily. And Jesus knew how to read people. He knew their thoughts. He knew that their mouths were far from him, or their hearts were far from him, just by listening to what their mouth was saying. Jesus was a fantastic communicator. And I believe that when he communicated the kingdom of God, he didn't do it with a religious attitude about him. I believe he did it with fervency and strong conviction to persuade the hearts of people. Yes, I believe that Jesus was a very emotionally controlled person. Amen. Now, in being aware to communicate, always be honest. Quit hiding under excuses and covering things up, especially your feelings about things. Do not rationalize your actions. If you're hot about something, then don't stuff those. Be expressive about it. My wife always tells me, well, I know I might be hot, but at least you know where I stand. And she's right. Praise God. Number two, in this communication, not number two, but the second part about how to communicate is purpose to encourage people. Emotionally controlled people are not good encouragers of other people. If you start encouraging people, then guess what? That's going to affect you. Lift others up around you. Spread an atmosphere of joy around them. Be happy in your appearance. And body language speaks volumes. Some people, man, you could just tell they got an inward problem. They walk around like a thunderstorm's over their head. When you're up here singing in the choir, this is for choir members, smile. Some of you do. Glory to God on the highest. Glory to God on the highest. Then there's the others up there know how to express themselves. You have to work on your body language. You have to do it. You have to learn how to communicate to people. Some people control people by the way they carry themselves, and they want to carry themselves that way. And then you try to tell them, you know, boy, you're a little offensive. They say, you either accept me the way I am or that's it. Glory to God. That's all right. I had some, but I guess I forgot what it was now. No, you need to work on encouraging people around you, especially with your body language. That's part of him. Be happy. When you enter into a room, make it so that all want to communicate with you and talk to you, and they don't feel rejected by you. Amen? So people that are controlled by emotions, they are not good people encouragers. And if you're one of them bad people encouragers, change. Now, you know something? I'm going to tell you, the things I'm preaching this morning are not easy. They're not easy. It takes work. It takes time. But it's how much you want to be transformed into His image. Praise God. Number two, be a giver, not a taker. Don't always want things your way. Emotionally controlled people, they'll just run off as a legend in their mind and begin to assume things without not even being willing to hear it from another perspective. Be willing to give in and let others choose as well. Don't worry about others taking advantage of you. There are some people who go through life wondering who's going to take advantage of me next. That's self-centeredness. Nobody can take advantage of you if you've got the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you and you've got that inward anointing going. You can be as bold as a lion, hallelujah, and feel safe and secure within the house of God because God's at work in your heart ruling over your life, not people. So when you're sitting there wondering who's going to take you next, what's your fear all about? No, it's because you're under those emotional controlling factors you need to get rid of. Hallelujah. Number three, be a listener. Listen to others. Hear them. Quit thinking you're the only one who hears from God. Your ability to hear makes you a good communicator. Your ability to hear makes a good communicator. Do you know the Holy Ghost is the best communicator on the face of the earth? Now, the church hasn't discovered that yet. Sorry to say, because some of the doctrines are coming up with. But you know the Holy Ghost is a good communicator. You want to know why? Because He says He doesn't speak on His own initiative whatsoever. He hears that He speaks. So the Holy Ghost is a good hearer first. Hallelujah. And then number four, change your body language. Remember, your actions will speak louder to some people than your words. People will always give validation to your heart by your actions and what they see in you. They always will. Oh, I'm sorry for being emotional about this message. Number five, change your negative reactions. The soul is very influenceable. Learn to guard it. Learn how to develop leadership in yourself. Quit following all the time. You know, people that are concerned about what other people think about them constantly, it's because they've never developed leadership within themselves to have confidence within themselves. And so they have what you call a reactionary way of living. And you got to be careful that you don't end up in that, because then you'll fight life. God didn't call you to be demonstrably fighting with life constantly. You know? Have you guys ever... Remember back when they used to have the little yellow sticker with the smiley face that says, be happy, don't worry? Well, you know, that's kind of scriptural in a way. I haven't found a little happy smiley face in my Word Bible yet, but I can put one there. But some people, it just doesn't matter to them about leadership. It matters how they're going to react or respond to people all the time. You have to sit down and begin to develop a confidence within yourself that you are able to lead your own life without other people trying to lead it for you. Some people, man, they come and go in your life just by how people react and how people accept them or reject them. You never see them again if people reject them. I wouldn't want my life like that. I'll tell you what, if I was like that, I wouldn't be pastoring. I wouldn't even be here. Number six. And this is a biggie. This is a real biggie. Pay attention to how you feel. See, a lot of people, they don't really pay attention to how they feel about things. Especially around different people. Negative information is gossip spread by emotionally controlled people. Become aware of and label your emotional responses by observing how you feel interacting with various types of people. This will help you develop discernment in yourself. By examining your emotional responses, you will begin to see clearly how other emotions spread to you. Is it your own or did it come from someone else? Is it your own or did it come from somebody else? You know, Jesus, I'm going to tell you something. If you follow His walk in the Gospels, it's very interesting. You never got an emotional response out of Jesus by people. Jesus became emotionally as a result of the kingdom of God not being adhered to properly. Jesus was not emotionally controlled by people. If that was the case, when they brought the woman that had committed adultery to Jesus, Jesus would have been probably tossed to and fro of whose side to take. Because His emotions were now playing in Him. Well, should I go with her or should I go with him? Well, there's more with them and one of her, and she's the culprit and they're not. And, you know, emotionally controlled people are always looking for direction. They never settle in. When you're emotionally emotional control, you never get settled in. You're never happy. You never know where you belong. You never get your feet planted in anything. Because all it does takes one person to come along and knock you out of the saddle. So you've got to pay attention to how you react to people and work on it. You know, nowadays, if the Bible don't work for you, you can go to anger management classes. You know, go to anger management classes if the Bible don't work for you. If the kingdom of God can't speak to your heart, get into some anger management classes. After all, it'll put a band-aid on it for a while. But really, when a man takes control of his life is when his life is being molded and shaped and conformed and transformed by an inward anointing working in their life. So it comes out of the nature or the spirit of a man where they get real control. Have you ever noticed the fruits of the Spirit? Every one of them spells emotional control. Our society is now training us how to live in anxiety. It is literally training us today how to live in anxiety. Well, how do I know that? Traffic. Some people I can't drive with, including myself once in a while. I got to think, wait a minute, I'm not Mr. Righteous on that road. But how many of you ever been with somebody that you get in the car for the first time and they scare the bejesus out of you? That was all right to say that word, right? Okay. Shock you. And they go on and carry on a conversation just like those people understand everything they're saying. Have you ever noticed that? I've done it to myself. Why, you idiot! Go! Well, right away, what it's done, it's made my day. And he didn't even know it. It's a good thing they don't have cell phone numbers on some cars. You'd get a phone call. I got to thinking one time, boy, I wish I had one of those little signs on my window that flashes these little words. But then I got to thinking, no, road rage would increase. Isn't that amazing? Now we have road rage. You want to know why? People are out of control emotionally. I couldn't believe it when this guy, his truck broke down on the freeway. This was quite a few years ago. But his truck broke down, and people going by, and, "You jerk, you idiot!" And he got mad, and he went and got his rifle, hunting rifle, out of the back of his truck, and killed people. Shot them deader than a hammer. One time, I was driving down the freeway, and I don't think I'm the only one in this congregation. I was driving down the freeway, and two cars went, shoo! Scared me, man, and they're just in and out, and nyin. Boy, I was so glad when they got at Fort Lewis. Cops nailed them. Glory to God. I wish he'd have seen me when I drove by, because I was... But he didn't see me. He probably got back in his car and took out after me. So you can pretty well tell how loose things are, especially when it comes to driving. Hallelujah. And number 7, don't let others contaminate you with their mood swings or negative emotions. Some people are so easily infected. Be at peace around irritated, angry people. Famous statements of the emotionally controlled. So they get you to join in with their emotional fits. Are you ready? Number 1. I don't care. Beautiful one. Number two, you never show your emotions. You're a dud. Can't you be emotional about this thing? What am I supposed to do? Fall apart like you are? Yeah, if you fall apart, at least I know you care. Couldn't you see Jesus falling apart? My daughter, she's dead. She lies at home dead. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Oh, all I got to do is go to God. Jesus played it calm. Jesus knew how to stay at peace with things. Right away, what happens? Some messengers came to Jesus, said, "Hey, guess who's dead? Lazarus." Lazarus was Jesus' best friend. He grew up with Lazarus. And what they tried to do, they tried to get Jesus to respond immediately. And you know what Jesus did? He kicked back and waited 2 days. And a lot of people say, now why did he do that? Just to prove that he is so cool and calm and selected, he can kick back because he's going to raise him from the dead anyway. So it don't matter whether he stinketh or not. No, that isn't why Jesus didn't go. You want to know why? How many of you know the story why he didn't go right away immediately to raise Lazarus from the dead? Because he knew the Jews were waiting to kill him before his time. And he waited until the Jews gave up waiting for him, because Jesus could be patient about it. And when he knew that they were no longer seeking to kill him, then he went down there, and what happened? A bunch of emotionally controlled people said, "You just don't care." I mean, Jesus was, he was kind of taken back at their unbelief. And of course, you know the story, you know. Roll a stone back, and they did. Lazarus, come forth. "Oh, you don't understand, Lord. By now he stinketh. Come on, Lazarus, come on forth." Kind of like the disciples in the boat. "What manner of man is this?" You know what manner of man Jesus was? What you are now. You're not a normal person. Well, maybe I better clarify. You're a supernatural person. That's what I meant. Thought I better clarify that. So you just don't understand. You don't care. You don't show anything. Here's another one they use. "Don't you have any feelings? Don't you have any feelings?" Here's another one. "You never listen to what I say." That term's okay as long as it's not uttered through anxiety. "You never listen to anything I say." All you have to do is to hear what they have to say and be ready to give them an answer. But it isn't because they don't hear you. I'm going to tell you something. Emotionally controlled people don't get very far with their children. You want to know why? Because if you react emotionally with your children all the time, they'll get to the point where that's the only way that you'll get any rousing out of him. And I guess what? They'll get so used to your screaming and carrying on emotionally that now they don't respond at all, and you have to drag them to where you want them to go. Because they tune you out. "Oh yeah, she just, you know, that's her. Well, she's crawling around on the rafters." "Yeah, that's her. That's mom." "Yeah, but she's got her teeth in the insulation." "Yeah, that's her. That's normal." "Well, that ain't normal where I'm from." I mean, by then you'd get a clue, you know, as a child, you know, your parents are coming unglued. Well, they just walk around and say, "Well, that's normal. They always come unglued." They're just not a good response. You know, my dad, when he did visit us, you know, because I never was around him much, I didn't know him. Now, my mother, I would drive her crazy because I never knew what no meant. That was not part of my vocabulary. And number two, she was hysterical all the time with us kids. I mean, we never got a beating, but we sure got a tongue lashing. I mean, she'd come unglued on us all the time. But when my dad came to visit, I never forget, I tried him the way I did my mom. Two different people. My dad asked me to go ahead and go to bed. And usually with my mother, that means 2 hours later. While I sat there and... No. My dad didn't say a word. He didn't even give me a clue where he was coming from. Next thing I know is these big hands got a hold of the front of my little pajamas, picked me up, and he went just like that. Told you to go to bed. I went to bed. If he could have just said one more time, and maybe in a stronger tone, maybe I would have got the clue. You know? He didn't say anything. And so the next day I told Mom, I says, Mama, do you know what Daddy did to me last night? She says, yep. Well, he didn't say anything. And my mother said, oh, yes, he did. And I said, well, he did say something, didn't he? Yeah, he said, go to bed. Yeah, she said, that's all he needed to say. Anything more of that is a waste of time. That's how my dad was. Go to bed. No movement? He helped me. That's the way he was with all of us when he visited. Hallelujah. What emotionally controlled people are really looking for is something they're controlled by out of you. Is your emotions. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for you to respond emotionally. Now, I do believe this with my whole heart. I do believe there are times when you do need to show emotions when people want an emotional response from you. And I think that they should be emotions that are controlled and loving. At least that's what the Lord spoke to me. Sue wanted an emotional response out of me, and I said, I ain't going to be moved by her emotions. And I was in the garage tinkering with my stuff as usual. And God said, So, you are a dud emotionally. Because that was a word my wife used, you're a dud. And you know, I got to thinking about that. And the Lord spoke this to me. You know, the Lord is... Man, I tell you, he is so sharp. I can't give him enough credit. He says, you know, you don't have to respond in a negative way with somebody. You can respond emotionally to them in a good way. Show them that you care. Don't act like you're Mr. Altogether and they're just out of control and you're in control. And I said, God, back off. I'm okay. I got the picture. He said, show them that you care when people are emotionally moved. Show them that you care. Because sometimes by showing people that you care, you can get them to change. Amen? Really, what they want is a good emotional response, not a negative one. That's what people really need to know. Your support, especially emotionally controlled people, they need your support. Hello? Now, what'll happen is if you don't really start gauging how to care for your emotions or you don't get these things in control, what happens, you can have what you call an emotional shutdown. This is where a person is so hurt emotionally that they begin to shut down. You can't get anything out of them. And most of the time, I believe almost 100% of the time, the reason that they shut down emotionally is because they don't want to go through those feelings of hurt anymore, because no one has really taught them how to change their emotions. You can't dismiss emotions, but you can turn them. Because we're structured to be emotional people. Did you know that I believe that Jesus is a very emotional person? I think God is full of emotions. Matter of fact, there's one passage in your Bible, I can't remember the verses. It says, when men come to salvation, I can't remember that, where in the Greek it's worded, literally it gives you this this understanding that when men come to salvation, the angels dance and twirl before the Lord in great joy. Just when a sinner is brought into heaven. I believe that heaven is full of emotions. But the type of emotions that are heavenly centered, not earthly centered. Amen. And so when we're dealing with emotions, it's something that you have to keep focused on. It's something you have to focus on. You have to learn how not to only not receive negative emotion, but you have to learn how to give positive emotions. How to show people that you care. Now, I ain't going to get down and squall and bawl and get into negatory with them. If they can't get it together, I'm not going to show my concern about it. Well, then you're violating Bible. The Bible tells you over there in Romans chapter 12, weep with them that weep. That to me is an emotional response that's positive. Matter of fact, in Proverbs says, don't sing a merry song to a grieving heart. It's like giving the guy vinegar to drink. So you've got to use wisdom when it comes in the area of emotions. You have to learn how to turn them. And so the ways that I suggested today, those are good, positive ways for you to learn how to turn them things. You know, and you have to work on it. It's not anything. And some people, they think they can go through life and they don't have to work on their emotions at all. They just accept me the way I am. Well, then good. Thank you. I wish you would hang one sign on you then, if that's the way you feel. I am self-centered and I don't care what anybody else thinks. You know, the further you go with God, the more you get rid of self for others. The more you get rid of self for others. Goes with the territory. Did you guys get something here today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we have two things we need to get typed up for you. I haven't forgot them. The two things are the ground that the voice of unbelief speaks out of, that list, and then also the list here of talking about emotions here. John, didn't you do something in your Sunday school class on emotions? Did you guys sit through that? How many of you sat through his class on emotions? Did you get a lot out of that? Yes, amen. When God instructed me to start this Sunday school program, boy, I'll tell you what. Without it, I don't know what we'd all do. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think the classes are great. Okay, everybody stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we are now concluding that there be anybody here that has never received you as their personal Savior. Father, it's not thinking the right thing, doing right things that gets us saved. It's acknowledging Him apart from works. Just receiving Him as Savior and Lord. So if you've never said the sinner's prayer, you've never had the opportunity to come forward and to have your salvation confirmed before the witness of the church or a believer, then you've missed out on the greatest opportunity to get born again there is. And so I want to encourage you to do that this morning if you know, or you even question whether you're saved or not. And then, if you're here this morning and you've been out of fellowship with, you've broken fellowship or communication with the Father, and you'd like to restore that, then we want to give you the opportunity to respond today. Hallelujah. And receive salvation. Hallelujah. And restoration. Hallelujah. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we want to give you the chance for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You might have been born again. You might have received the Spirit of the new birth, but the Holy Spirit is a second separate act to wherewith you're filled with Him with the evidence of speaking in that heavenly language. And so we have our altar ministers ready to minister to you. And if you fit one of those areas, I want you to step out now and come forward for prayer. Anybody? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, just before we dismiss, those of you that would like prayer, have us come into an agreement that the Lord will put you on the cutting edge to help you emotionally. Now, that's something you have to work through. That's something that you can't have somebody just lay hands on and immediately you're going to change. That doesn't work that way. But we can join our faith to yours, saying that whenever you need to take note of the person you are emotionally, the Holy Ghost will bring you to a check or an arrest in that area, and we'll be glad to pray for you and join our faith with yours on that, of your emotions. And I know what some of you are thinking, well, I got an emotional problem. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you're all indicted. You're all guilty. Every one of you are. It's just a matter of who wants to admit it and who doesn't. Hallelujah. And listen, just because you purpose to fight this thing about your emotions doesn't mean that everything that was done to you that was bad, it is something you're not going to be justified in, because God justifies. God justifies a person's life. It's just that you don't have to be emotionally controlled by it. You can learn to let it go. Just like forgiveness. It's one thing to forgive somebody, but it's another thing to be controlled by it. Hallelujah. And our hearts need to be free. Our hearts need to be free. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm still confessing some scriptures in my own life about my emotions. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, altar ministers, are you ready to pray for these wonderful people? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, what an honor. What an honor. Hallelujah. 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 Emotionally controlled people are men and women of faith. And that is something we have to press into. I wish I could say that we could wind the world up and put it in the right direction, but sometimes that doesn't always work. Sometimes we just have to learn how to deal with us. We have to adjust to an imperfect world. Not compromise, but just adjust. Because after all, we are in the dispensation of what? What dispensation are we in right now? Free? Grace. The dispensation of grace and mercy. Where God's grace and mercy through Jesus is on mankind. This is the time to work things out in our life. Amen. Through His grace and mercy. Okay, and those of you that are here, been visiting, or you're here for the first time, maybe you're looking for a church, or been visiting ours, or you're just here for the first time, we have what we call a hospitality room. And so right after this service, we'd like you to go right out there to the coffee bar, and we have some people to lead you upstairs, and we'd be glad to meet with you and talk to you, and praise God, bless you. Okay, congregation, pray with me. Father, I thank You for these wonderful, wonderful people that have come forward and has really re-released the altar minister on their life for this area that I've talked about here today. Father, I pray that they're going to have the greatest victory they've ever had. And those that didn't come forward, Father, and they know that they need working on it, Father, get them to that place where they too will challenge their self to make changes in their own life so that they're more emotionally free to express Jesus in their life. And everybody said, amen. You're dismissed, congregation.